is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Over the centuries, animal models have been used for all sorts of biological research and have enabled some major discoveries. But when it comes to studying something as complicated as human brain conditions, we really need human brain tissue to study. This week, a diverse group of researchers, ethicists, and philosophers have collectively published a comment piece in which they speak out about their concerns for the future of brain research. Here's reporter Ellie Mackay to tell us more.
The pages of Nature this week contain an image of something called a brain organoid. It's novel, it has astonishingly futuristic applications, and it raises some interesting ethical questions. I spoke to Nita Farahani, lead author of the comment piece about these organoids, and started by asking her about the current standard way of studying human brain tissue, growing human pluripotent stem cells in a dish.
So you could, for example, just create a two-dimensional, like a flat sheet of cells. So you might pick one kind of brain cell type and grow that in a dish. But it's limited in how useful it is because it doesn't show you the interconnections between different brain regions or different cell types.
So what is the solution? What would be the ideal model?
What's ideal is to be able to study brain tissue that's either still functioning or to be able to grow something like a brain organoid that would mimic some of the functions of the human brain.
So mini brain organoids, it sounds very sci-fi.
Right.
What are these organoids and how are they different from these pluripotent stem cell sheets?
So brain organoids are really terrific. They are three-dimensional pluripotent stem cells that can differentiate and even self-organize into different cell types that are all organized together.
And so we're talking about separate brain regions like the cortex or the basal ganglia, and you can combine those so there's communication between them?
That's exactly right. You can actually assemble different regions together that have been grown independently, and these brain assembloids can then have interconnections between the regions so that you can actually have electrical activity that occurs across the different regions.
And what sort of size are these organoids or assembloids?
Right now, the largest organoids are about 4 millimeters in diameter. They have about 2 to 3 million cells. I mean, you know, this is tiny in many ways compared to an adult human brain. That being said, at least functionally and even cellularly, they give us a much better proxy already than many of the animal models.
And these organoids have already had applications so far in studying things like the Zika virus, autism spectrum disorders, and schizophrenia.
That's right, which is exciting, especially if you think about some of the ethical limitations of being able to do some of that research in humans. To be able to do it with human brain tissue creates quite an exciting opportunity in advance.
And you mentioned in the article that it's not just the organoids on their own that need to be considered. There's also the idea of putting human tissues in pigs or mice, for example, and creating what's referred to as a chimera.
Right. So we already have started to create chimeras. So taking an organoid and putting the whole organoid inside of an animal model that would enable it to develop blood vessels that could allow it to grow. These are steps that we've already taken.
And when researchers transplanted human brain cells into mice brains, they created human mice chimeras that showed improved learning.
Yes.
So at what point does one of these chimeras become human?
So putting human glial cells into mice enabled them to perform better in certain learning tasks. Does that make them more human-like? Potentially, but I think that they're still, you know, a very far distance from being human.
And what about the organoids themselves? Could they be defined as human?
Mm-hmm. That's a very tough question. So how do we define human is a question, I think, that gets to the very heart of what do we think of as personhood and what do we think of as alive versus dead? Those are some of the questions that we think will be posed by the exciting advances in this field.
And it's been shown with some of these organoids that they have the ability to respond to external stimuli like light. So they're responsive. Are there then questions of whether they could become conscious even?
I think right now we think the possibility of any consciousness in these organoids is extremely remote. But the mere fact that it is remote rather than impossible creates a need for us to have the conversation now about greater research that unpacks consciousness, whether or not we can detect it, and if so, how we might address that.
And why not stop the research altogether if there are these concerns?
So we believe that it would be unethical to stop the research at this point. This is our best hope for for being able to alleviate a tremendous amount of human suffering that's caused by neurological and psychiatric disorders. And while every technological advance brings some risks with it, we believe that these are risks that can be addressed with ethical guidelines rather than calling for some kind of halting of the research.
And so you've published a long list of guidelines, including some methodological considerations, such as how to handle and dispose of these organoids, as well as what consent would be needed from donors, for example.
That's right.
But other issues like welfare may even need addressing if these organoids perhaps in the future are developed further and are considered more human-like. Are you worried as a group that this is a reality that's fast approaching?
I think if you look at the people who made this call together, these are the scientists who are really at the cutting edge of a lot of this research. We recognize that it is a remote possibility today. So one of the things that I think is really powerful about this comment is that it brings together scientists, ethicists, and philosophers working in this space to put guidelines and frameworks into place before we're right up against that reality.
So what do you hope the next steps will be?
We hope that it is a call to action, that it starts to spur a great deal of conversation that could enable and help guide the kind of deep ethical quandaries of this terrific and exciting field of scientific progress.
That was Ellie Mackay talking to Nita Farahani from Duke University in the United States. You can read the comment piece at nature.com/news.